Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
In a moment, we'll be talking with our guest this week, Paul Ascoff. But, Tim, I want to bring up to your attention these items we've had in our forums about the alleged 1945 Trinity UFO crash. That's the main subject of this book from Jacques Vallée and Paula Harris. And we've got a person who's been a guest on the show. He's a book author and UFO researcher, George Wingfield. Have you followed that thread at all, Tim?
A little bit, yes.
So what George's contention here is that, yes, there was a flight that time, but it involved test aircraft. But I think that's also the reason they identify Roswell as being something that was being tested.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, every one of these alleged UFO crashes that happened in the late 1940s, the skeptics, debunkers, whatever you want to call them, bring into play the possibility of some kind of crashed aircraft, balloon, you know, what have you, which could very well be. But it seems like the evidence showing these test craft is about as nebulous as the alleged extraterrestrial spacecraft. So, I mean, unless one side or the other, in my opinion, really presents some verifiable hard evidence, it's all just speculation, one way or the other.
Paul Ascoff, you've been involved in UFO research, it says here, for what, 50 years?
Yeah, sure. For me, that was when I had my first sighting. That was my wake-up call, if you like, that got me into it.
You're in it.
Head first.
Yeah. Can I just agree with what Tim said there? Trinity, Roswell, all these others. Again, if you went to a court of law, the corroborative evidence would be in your favour. And it's something where the introduce, I'll just say, as a cover all, the authorities introduce this plausible explanation that as long as you weren't there for people on the periphery or people coming in afterwards, it sounds reasonable. It sounds, yes, that could have really happened. But to the people that were there, it's like, well, none of that happened really, you know, and they'll say the same with the people that were at Roswell, the people that were, even Rendlesham Forest, things like that, and it was like, no, it was nothing like that, you know, but that is what their modus operandi is. That is how they work. And it's just to plant that seed of doubt in people's minds that haven't actually been involved in at a close instance, if you know what I mean.
Well, the problem I have with Roswell, of course, is that the stories did not begin till more than 30 years later. Uh-huh. So, yeah, we're talking about having half a lifetime of experiences before recounting what they remember from that case. And if you followed Roswell much, you'd see that there are lots of contradictions and things that don't add up because so many years passed.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's one of the things that I always say to when people say, when they see things and they say, well, how do you know? And I think in my case, it was that first instance when I was a child. I was only 11 years old, but the sighting was so bizarre, so odd, that it was like a wake-up call, and there was like a switch went off in my brain that said, whoa, this is not from this earth. And it was so obvious that it was like, why don't I know about it? Why isn't it in the newspapers? Why aren't other people reporting these things? That was the hook that got me in.
Let's talk more about those sightings, because that can cause lots of changes in someone's life. When did you see your first UFO?
I was 11 years old. We had moved to the edge of a small village, a very rural location. You literally walked out of our front door into fields, fields and fields for miles. My father, our last job of the day, my brother and I, was taking our dogs and the neighbour's dog. We had a war veteran next door who was quite disabled. So it was taking the dogs for a walk, put the dogs away, say goodnight, go to bed. That was the routine. This night, my brother and I had taken the dogs for a walk, put them away, saying goodnight, and Dad was in the front garden. And as we went out there, we were looking due east. The sky to the north was completely covered in cloud, and the sky to the south was completely clear. And we were looking down this almost, not quite, but almost a straight bank of thick cloud. And as my father's, it was middle September, whatever, sometime September 1968. So it's quite a few years ago. There weren't the air traffic that there is now. There certainly wasn't the light pollution that there is now. No police helicopters or ambulance news helicopters, anything like that in those days. And as we're looking at the sky, my father's just pointing out the first few brighter stars and constellations that were appearing. These two UFOs came out of this bank of cloud and then just stopped dead. There was no deceleration, they were moving very fast, and then boom, still. Then you could actually see the light from them shining on the cloud. As this happened, I got a voice in my head, and I can only describe as I found, and I can still clearly remember, it said, "Oops," and it was a, what can I say, I hate to word that it was benevolent, but it sounded a kindly masculine voice, and it was, "Oops, we hadn't meant to have been seen." Once I got that in my head, we're sort of, the three of us were mouths agape looking at the sky, and then after a few seconds, they set off again, going away from us. I mean, for you guys, they were probably about the size of a dime at arm's length, so they were quite large, brilliant, pearly white, perfectly spherical, as they were still, couldn't see anything holding them together, but they maintained the same position relative to each other throughout. They were still for a few seconds, and then they immediately started, they were moving fast again, no acceleration, they were moving very, very fast, going directly away from us, travelling down this bank of cloud, and you could still see the light as they were sort of the undulating edge of the cloud. You could see how the light got brighter and dimmer, shining or reflecting off the surface of the cloud. And as they moved, there was this small teardrop shape, almost like an atmosphere sloughing off the back of them, until they disappeared out of sight. And all three of us were silent, just watching in awe, and then as they disappeared in the distance, we were all quiet for a minute, and my father was the first to speak, and he had done his national service with the RAF, done 3 years with them, and he just said, "Well, there's nothing we've got that can do that." And that was my first instance. It was so bizarre, so odd, I just wish I could have videoed it.
Well, when you were 11 years old, what kind of video was there?
No videos in those days, unfortunately. That was something just for the news and the cameras, and I think it was the old handheld 8mm things in those days.
I remember having a Super 8 camera at one particular point in time. I also had a couple of different 35mm cameras, and I also had this Yashica camera, and the size of the picture was squared off. I don't remember the exact size. I then went to 35mm. So there you go. I had a Canon, a Beauty, which was a low-end camera that you can get for like $35. This is back in the 60s with 1,000 different features. But I don't even know if I have any of the pictures I took in those days. None of UFOs. The UFOs did not favor me for this. Now, this particular sighting, was it covered anywhere that you know about? Was there a newspaper story or something?
No, I did look at the time, and my father, I mean, I was just 11 years old, my younger brother were 9. My father was out every day. He drove a coach for a coach company up and down the local area, and he said, "I'll look and see if there's anything in the papers." And there was nothing on anything of our local, in our local area at all. Just nothing. And that was one thing I couldn't believe, that something that was so blatantly obvious, you only had to look in the sky and it was like, it was so odd that it shouldn't be there. How come nobody reported it? But again, in those days, they reported it and it just didn't get out any further.
We've got more with Paul Ascoff. He's the author of UFOs, The Real Story. Now in its 2023 revised edition with Gene and Tim, you're in
The Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Paul Askoff is telling us about the sighting that occurred when he was 11 years old. Didn't see any reports about it, but I gather you've had more experiences. Can you tell us?
Sure. Since then, in those days, there were no such thing as the internet, or nobody had a cell phone, anything like that. So we really had to get out and get to local cities to find any information out on anything. So what I started doing then was finding local groups and newspapers and books. And even then, going into the big cities, they didn't have books on UFOs. You had to order them, you know. Things like Donald Kehoe, Jenny Randalls, the old authors then, that is still, some of them still writing now, Jacques Vallée. And that was how I got into it. And then I got into groups. I joined BUFORA, the British UFO Research Association. I was with them for many years. I became an investigator. Then through the job I was with, I was a paramedic working shifts. But throughout this time, what I did was just sort of kept a small diary of anything. Always kept my eyes on the skies, as they say. From nowadays, where I am now, we've had 8 sightings, of which I've managed to get 4 of them photographs with witnesses and 1 video from the outskirts of Leeds, where I live in central Yorkshire. And it's quite a big city, so you will think there'd be more reports there. There are things going on all the time, and it's just, I don't know whether some people will say, you know, do you get this all the time? Some people are attracted to it more than others. I don't think that's often the case. I think it's people are distracted with their material sort of lifestyle that we have at the moment.
Quickly going back to your original sighting when you were 11 years old with your dad and younger brother, you said that when these things first popped out of the cloud bank, you got the impression in your head, you know, oops, sorry, you shouldn't have seen that. Did your father or brother mention anything similar?
No. Now, this is another thing. I talked to them both afterwards and years later even. And it spurred my father on to start reading because he used to go out and buy the books and then I'd read them when he'd finished. Like, that was the first time I read Chariots of the Gods. So it spurred him on, but neither of them heard anything at all. It was completely silent throughout, and it was only I that got the voice in my head.
Well, and as I'm sure you know, I mean, that occurs quite a bit with UFO witnesses, where they will get an impression, first of all, that they're not supposed to be seeing this, yet somehow they do. They figure that out. But as well, which to me is just extremely odd, like your experience, people get the impression that whatever the phenomena is that they're witnessing knows that they're seeing it, how do you think that can be?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, if you're dealing, say, you know, like with an extraterrestrial scout craft, you know, flying over the planet, I mean, lots of people down there, how in the world would they know the difference between somebody asleep in their bed and somebody who is actually seeing them?
This is one thing, Tim, that I am going to explain in my book. This happened to me on one occasion that made me laugh afterwards. And we were, what used to happen, through my life, I've always been medical. And I worked 12-hour shifts in the ambulance emergency call center. And we were working in front of computers. So I used to make a point, every time I got a break, I'd get up and I'd go out for a walk. And this night, we'd been particularly busy. And a friend, he was on his second break. And I said, oh, I'm going to go for a walk. He said, oh, I'll come with you. So Liam and I went off for a walk, going round, and it was in a big industrial estate, so a lot of light pollution. You could only see the brightest stars, but this was like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And then we'd walk around, we're going back to the headquarters where we were, and as we're walking back towards it, this, what looked like an aircraft, came out of this cloud and turned towards us. Now, at the moment, immediately, I got I'm loath to say a connection with it, but I got a feeling that it was odd. And immediately, I got my phone out of my pocket, like people do, and I started to film it. And it looked like an aircraft coming out of the cloud, like it was coming in, and it was on the normal flight path that we would expect, except you wouldn't get aircraft on our little local airport between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And then it was stationary. So I lifted my phone and started videoing, and I videoed it for 18 seconds, and I thought, I'll stop, because there's nothing happening. And literally, as I turned it off and put the phone down so I could just concentrate on it, looking at it with my eyes, it was almost like it said, there you go, thank you very much. And it went sideways back into the cloud and disappeared, and we didn't see it again.
And you also had a similar experience, though this time it seemed like the UFO didn't want you to photograph, but this one involved, that you lived in a small town with your wife and two small boys. Do you want to relate that experience?
Yeah, now this was a good one. At the time, we had a huge dog, a Pyrenean mountain dog, if the listeners know that. And so I had to take him a walk 2 or 3 times a day, and we'd go for a walk around. And we had a lot of local woods and forestry commission land near us. And we were going out, and I was going to brush the dog and then take him for a walk. And as I went into the back garden, my wife shouted at me, and what looked for all the world like car headlights through fog, two lights separated side by side, moving overhead over the top of us. No sound, no rotation, no strobes. Again, nothing apparently linking them together. And they came over the top of us. And it was like, what is this? And she's going, look at this. And we had two boys. They were quite small at the time, maybe 3 and 6 years old, something or thereabouts. And we came out, and we're watching them go overhead. And then all of a sudden, they just, as we're looking, I thought, I'll go get my camera. And literally, as I thought that, they just shot off, exactly like you see on the Star Trek when he says, warp speed, Scotty, and off it goes. It was just like that. Because as it disappeared over in the distance, I just thought, wow, warp factor 10, you know, it was like, and then it disappeared. I then took the dog for a walk, looking at the sky more than looking at the dog, came back, was maybe 20 minutes later, as I'm coming back in and I'm locking the gate, because it was such a large dog, it had a 6-foot gate, so he couldn't get out. And as I'm looking, they came back again, going very slowly, in exactly the opposite direction from whence they came, returning where they came from. Now, it was an amazing thing what all four of us saw. I hadn't actually reported it to anybody, hadn't said anything. And it was years later when I was a member of Bufora, and I'd actually gone to Philip Mantle's house, because he was their director of investigations. And we were investigating an abduction, and he wanted to go over some things with me before I went over to speak to the people.
Let's do our break here, Paul, and we'll continue with this in our next segment. Paul, Gene, okay. Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The head of a Russian mercenary group is ordering a halt to his military advance in Moscow. Russian state media says the leader of the Wagner group agreed to de-escalate the situation after talks with the president of Belarus. Former President Trump says he will contribute to the legal fund for January 6 defendants. In a video of the speech posted on social media, Trump said, quote, "You have great people and they've been made to pay a price." The number of pedestrian deaths in the U.S. is the highest it's been in more than 40 years. According to a report from the Governor's Highway Safety Administration, more than 7,500 pedestrians were killed in traffic accidents last year. Vice President Harris spoke Saturday to commemorate the anniversary of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. The decision ended the constitutional right for women to access abortions after five decades. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Paul Askoff is author of the second edition now of UFOs, The Real Story, telling me about his personal experiences. Sir, please go on.
Yeah. So I'm in Philip's house, and I'm narrating the story to him about my wife and the children seeing the two UFOs go overhead. And then he said, "I can tell you exactly when that was." And I went, "Really?" And I'm thinking, well, I didn't tell anybody. And he went, "Because I saw it too." And I went, "Never." And he said, "Yes." He said, "I saw it too." He says, "And it was reported all the way from central Yorkshire, like Leeds, which is right in the middle of England, all the way over to the east coast." And I lived further east from where Philip was then. And he said he'd been coming out of work. And he says as he's driving out to work, he's looking almost due north over Leeds. And he saw these lights. And he said, straight away, Philip said, "They shouldn't be there." So he says, "I drove out to very quickly to a point on the edge of the town where we are now, where he could overlook." It's like a very high up on a ridge, so you can see quite some distance and overlook Leeds. And as he got there, and he said, "They were just like car headlights." He says, "One to me was slightly brighter than the other."
So now Philip said that he saw the same thing. Had this, and you may have said this, had this been reported afterwards? Did it, you know, make the news anywhere?
No, that was another thing that which Philip did tell me. It had been reported to Bufora, but it didn't appear on any of the news stations that we have. I don't think we have the proliferation of news channels and local news reports as you do in the US, but there was still nothing on the news over here.
But, you know, the thing about it is with these kinds of sightings, I mean, it's probably less than 1% of people who have these experiences actually go to the trouble of reporting it somewhere. You know, one reason is that they have no idea who to report it to. You know, some people would call the police, but the police would just make fun of them. In the United States, they used to call, you know, like the local Air Force base, but, you know, that usually got nowhere. So, I mean, you know, what do you say to somebody who would have an experience like this? How they would go about either documenting or reporting it to somebody?
Yeah, I think nowadays with the internet, things are much easier to report. And even on Facebook, you have pages where you can report these things. There's British UFO play. There's lots of sites where if you went on and you just Googled it, then they would come up. And I'm sure it would be the same over the pond in the States too.
So you had another experience in your book that I really enjoyed, and I hope that you can share it with our audience. And this was the one where you and some friends had borrowed your father's car and went out camping in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, first of all, why would you do that in the middle of winter? And you're going with your report.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things you do. You're young and you're stupid and you don't realize the implications of what you're doing. You don't see the danger when you're younger. And this was an area we were familiar with, but it was it's like a national park, and there's some quite, exposed hill, moorland areas, so it is quite high up. We didn't realize how bad on how cold the weather was. And it was my girlfriend at the time who became my first wife, and then my sister. And we said, yeah, let's just go off and we'll go camping. We both got all of us had the weekend off. And it was something we'd been planning to do, but never got around to it. Now, very fortunately, we did have good equipment, but the way we went, you're out in these national parks, fantastic night sky, you can see all the stars and everything, and we went out, and the thing what sort of got us was the snow. The nearer we got to where we wanted to be, the deeper and deeper the snow get, until eventually, when we tried to get off-road, away from a main road, we just got snowed in, and that was it, the car was stuck. So we just said, okay, we'll make the best of it. We've got the right equipment. We'll put the tent up. And we literally just set everything up and then sat looking at the sky. But it was freezing cold. We sat a bit in the middle of snowdrifts and we're looking at the night sky. And it was, we teamed the odd shooting star. And then it was like we were watching a star, but then this star stopped. And then it moved, and it, like, traced an arc, if you can imagine, which obviously no natural phenomenon can do. And even my sister was like, whoa, look at that, what is that? And it was like, retrospectively, you think, had we put ourselves in a very vulnerable position, really? But it was, we saw that, and then that disappeared, that went off into the distance, and it was like, it was so cold, we all decided just to make the best of it and keep warm during the night, and then see if we could safely get out in the morning, which thankfully we did.
So, I've had you give us a couple of good examples of your experiences, your sightings, and going back as far as when you were 11 years old, up until now. Do you think that you having these experiences, seeing these UFOs, is because you're aware that such things can happen and you're, you know, constantly, you know, looking up into the sky, or you just happen to be at the, you know, all these times at the right place at the right time, or what? I mean, what do you think is the reason that you have been lucky enough to have all these incredible experiences?
I think it goes back to there's some truth to both sides of the argument that you've just said. being in the right place at the right time, actually looking at the sky for one thing, but also being in the right frame of mind. There's this new movement now. My wife and I saw something that I could describe like an ellipsoid shape, like the chondroitin and the other things, glucosamine capsules you get for your knees and things. And it was that sort of shape, but brilliant white. And that was moving through the sky. And I put that on my Facebook page. I have a Facebook page called It's the Real Story. And I put all my sightings and photographs and videos on there. And somebody asked me the question there, do you use CE5? Now, CE5, I think, is something that's come to the fore more recently where people meditate and try and contact them that way. Now, this is something I've never done. But he asked me, were you actually thinking of ET, I'll use that as a cover-all phrase, before you saw this? And I said, yes, actually, it's not an odd question, and yes, I was. So whether it's, this is something else. I could go into more depth, but I think it's something that people often just don't have the time to sit and relax and look at the sky and look at things around them.
Well, the implication of what you're saying is if we have the right attitude about UFOs, the right attitude, we think carefully about it, there's a possibility here that we might actually end up seeing something strange. Am I getting the right picture here?
Yes, and this is something that I think a lot of investigators find, that when groups go out, one of the things that I found when I was investigating for Beaufort, and I found with personal contacts with other friends since, mainly, I have to say, through Facebook, and I'm not saying they use CE5, but they say when they specifically go looking and they just sat there quietly looking at the sky, then something suddenly appears, or on the way home something appears. Now, it is a very complex subject, and I know that sounds very, very blasé to just say that on the face of it.
Well, we'd have these announcements, which we hope are not blasé. Paul Ascoff, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I just wanted to understand what you're saying here, because I have not seen a UFO ever, and maybe I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. I've been around people who have. I'll go back to the mid-70s, when I was one of the sponsors of a UFO convention at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And I was busy doing my stuff and hanging out with people. And some of the people who were there, my cohorts, saw something strange. I didn't. I don't know whether my mental attitude was wrong. But it sounds to me like you can almost meditate in the proper fashion and bring something about.
May I just try and explain something on the electromagnetic spectrum, Gene, and see if the listeners listening can understand this one. I'll make it as simple as I can.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, so our normal, ordinary matter that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, we have at the lower end, we have the radio waves, and they're the weaker, longer radio waves, and then they gradually get shorter and more powerful as they come into the infrared, and then we get the visible light and our acoustic spectrum, which is the bit we physically deal with on a daily basis. Then the ultraviolet, the X-rays, and then at the far end, the higher end, the higher energies, and shorter waves, we have the gamma rays. That's the bit that we know, and that is our electromagnetic spectrum. So we actually only see and hear a very, very small portion right in the centre of that, almost in the centre, but it's less than 0.1% of what's there. Now, this is what we deal with and what we experience on a daily basis. However, these cosmologists and these other people with far better brains than I, that say that the vast majority of the matter and energy in the universe is this dark energy and dark matter, even as high as, I've heard, 70 to as high as 95%. Now, although we can't see it, we can't measure it, they're now saying this is why certain things and the universe works the way it does, because it's all this other stuff that we can't see. Now, if you imagine, I'm going to use the coverall term ET again, we only see that 0.1%. Now, there are, we can say, people within normal human sapiens, if you like, that are more spiritually aware. that you get your spiritualist mediums and things like that. We see such a small amount of that. But if there's another 70, if there's another 95% that we aren't seeing, but ET does, and this is what I'm trying to get at, they are so far ahead of us, could be thousands of years in front of us. So if you imagine an easy way to an analogy that I use in the book is our ordinary matter that we deal with from the radio waves at one end to the gamma rays at the other is like an LP. That is our ordinary matter. But there's not just that one, because there's all this dark energy and dark matter around us. So there's a whole stack of records. But out of this stack of records, we only deal with the one of them. Now, ET, for want of a better phrase, completely understands that there's all these others, completely can control it, can manipulate it, and that is why we see and hear what we do. And that is why everything around us, the computer or radio you're sat in front of now, the desk, even the building that you're in, all have a magnetic frequency that we can rudimentary, sort of, on a small level, we can measure. But if you imagine even your thoughts, I mean, now we have electroencephalographs that look at thought waves, like polygraph tests and things like that. That's the very basic thing. Now, if you imagine ET can control that, your thoughts are an energy. Everything is energy. So ET are able to pick that up, because everybody's energy is completely different. Everybody's energy is unique to them. It's like a fingerprint. So they know. That is why ET can do what it does. And it zips through our visible spectrum. That's why they appear and disappear. That's why they can move like they do. They don't fly. Yes, they're unidentified, and yes, they're an object. But they don't fly. That's ridiculous. That's our physics. So they're in their own little pocket of energy, their own little pocket of universe. And that's why we get these bizarre movements at incredible speeds. To us, that's what we perceive. They're not actually moving. So does any of that make sort of sense to you?
Well, aren't we assuming here what ET, if ET exists, what attitudes they take, how they operate, things like that? Aren't we not just guessing?
Yes. Now, this is how I've, what can I say? This is from talking to people, from talking to abductees, from talking to eyewitnesses, from reading hundreds and hundreds of books. And I'm not a scientist, I don't know, I'm not, I don't think I'm that intelligent enough to say I understand quantum physics and I understand there's a lot more to the universe than we know. But it's the only explanation that I can come up with, and what I've tried to do in the book is put it in a layman's terms, because I don't want people to pick it up and it be hard work reading it. I want them to be able to pick it up and understand the point that I'm trying to get over. And not make it more complicated than it needs to be. You don't need to understand the fine points. You just need to know that there is all this around us all the time. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it does to me. And when you're talking about whatever this phenomena is that we're dealing with can actually manipulate basically, you know, light energies around it, you know, all up and down the spectrum. It reminds me of people who see, say, like a very unusual type of paranormal being or cryptid creature, something that's really out of place. There was one story I know a woman told me that she saw this very tall figure coming down the street late at night, and she got a very clear view of it. It was tall. It had really unusually large, she said it was almost like clown feet. But as it drew nearer to her house, she was on a porch smoking a cigarette. It looked over at her, and she said that she could see on its face surprise that she could see it. That was the impression that she got. You talked about the impression that you got when you were 11 years old of the UFOs, you know, like, oh, you're not supposed to. That's the impression that she got. This thing was surprised that she was able to see it. So the things that you were just saying before I started rambling on here makes perfect sense. within all of these different kinds of experiences that we've read about, people have told me about, and probably people have told you about as well.
Absolutely, Tim. And I think this is the problem that we have. I mean, I have a good friend, Paul Sinclair, who says it's the truth with no proof. And it's because we don't know how to measure it. We don't currently have, well, not that anybody's telling us, we currently don't have the technology to look at this. And it's because all these frequencies are around us all the time. And I think it's true of the paranormal and cryptids, so that your skinwalkers, your dogmen and all these other things, your Sasquatch, Bigfoot, whatever you want to call it, all these different things are just on a different level. They're on a different frequency, different vibration. They're on a different plane to us. And it's only in places like, we'll say, Skinwalker Ranch. That's one of the obviously more famous ones. There are many more. I think they're all over the world, and there are many more than we realize, where these levels, these vibrations touch. And because of these areas, that's when we get these sightings of cryptids, dogmen, and other things like that. But the other thing that occurred to me doing sort of researching this was that because ET knows this, that is why you get UFOs seen at these places, because ET knows that it's a shortcut from one vibration to another. So they use these shortcuts, these easy channels. Does that make sense?
When you refer to different vibrations, is this like the multiverse, where each vibration takes you to a different reality?
Yep, that's exactly it. And it's the same, we could talk on the spiritual side, even from, like from a spiritualist that you have in the UK and, oh well, all over the world. It's just people able to tune in to the next record, and the one above or the one below. And because they're able to, what can I say, train their minds to be able to do this and raise their frequency so they can make that contact, that's done by their own will. But it's a very basic level.
We'll cover this in more detail in our next segment. Paul Askoff, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.